The opinions stated in this podcast do not reflect the opinions of the Elestal or SIUE as a whole. Welcome back to the Elestal After Hours. I'm Hannah Ledford, and joining me today I have
Audrey Renick, and I'm the sports editor.
Ava Galban, and I'm a reporter.
Welcome, you guys. How are we feeling this lovely morning?
Tired.
Oh, it's been a morning. It started raining on me on my walk over here. Yay.
Well, if you were to pick up a copy of the Elestal when you're listening to this, you would not see our regular campus news or our fun little stories. You would see our special edition.
Yippee! Yay!
So our special edition, it is on the First Amendment and the five freedoms that everyone in America gets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Pretty much.
Pretty much that. So we have, like, I think a page dedicated to each freedom. Is that correct?
One or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Each. So we have a bunch of different, like, stories that are going to be about each freedom, which is super fun. And the first one that we have is on the freedom of religion, which is such a fun one. So, Audrey, would you like to talk about that one a little bit?
Yes. So, the freedom of religion basically guarantees religion by prohibiting the government from establishing a state church or a state religion, and also from favoring one religion over another. And this was described in the Establishment Clause. But the problem with that is that the Establishment Clause is worded so vaguely that it has led to a ton of complex interpretations of it. So some people, I know recently there's a Texas activist, I'm not sure what his name was, but he claimed that the separation of state and church is a myth and that America should be ran as a Christian nation. And he is closer to power than ever before. And with, you know, Trump's new Bible, Make America Christian Again, he's putting the First Amendment, or he's putting the Constitution in that as well. And there has been a lot of blurred lines between exactly what it means, just because of how vague it is. So a lot of people have kind of taken it upon themselves to really interpret it themselves, and so that has led to a lot of conflict between exactly what it means.
That sounds a lot like the beginning of The Handmaid's Tale, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Well, I mean, still the problem with that is if the nation was Christian, obviously it would, you know, suppress other people's religions and stuff like that, but also with the attack on the Capitol, it was said that they were driven by a religious kind of motive. So if tying in religion to the state can lead to consequences such as the attack on the Capitol, and if that's the case, then we need to redefine and make it really clear the freedom of religion, because violence is not the answer.
I don't know. What do you think about that, Ava?
I'm very much for the separation of church and state. I think it's like one of the main ways that America is able to uphold its diversity and just kind of remain the country that it's like kind of painted to be, this place of like amazing opportunity and promise and like freedom of like expression and identity. It's kind of like is a little eerie to look at like the insurrection, or look at the like the new Trump Bible, and like then like having like watched like shows and like read the books like The Handmaid's Tale, and I'm like, what is going on, guys? I've got a bad feeling about this one.
No, I definitely agree. Well, we are on a podcast, so I guess we should move on to freedom of speech, because we're
Yay,
all speeching.
Speech. Okay, so freedom of speech. There's also kind of a lot of debate with this because of, once again, how vague it is. But essentially, the freedom of speech is not absolute, meaning it's not completely free as one might think. It is constitutional to do hate speech. So you can be mean all you want, but the problem is when you are inciting immediate danger, that's when it becomes unconstitutional. So there was a case in, I forgot what year it was, but a KKK member, he asked a reporter to come down and report on one of their meetings and to make, quote, movies of their rituals and stuff like that. And these rituals, this Klan meeting, it showed a bunch of burning of the cross, the Bible, just all of them were wearing, you know, the classic suits that they wear. While one of the members was giving a speech on how he basically supporting white supremacy, and he said that if the government suppressed the white supremacy, then the government would receive consequences, basically. But although he said all of this, and although he was, you know, advocating for the KKK, he was still allowed to do it because he wasn't actually causing, you know, any sort of real immediate danger to anybody. They were simply just doing what they do, I guess, with their little ritual, but they weren't necessarily attacking anyone.
They were just doing their little, like, white supremacist rituals.
So, God. But the freedom of speech allows that because they didn't produce any real danger. And that was in the, it was in 1969. So that standard remains the standard today, where it's the principle could only be prohibited if it's directed at inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action.
Don't yell fire in a movie theater.
True. So, yes, that don't yell fire. So that was that's also about time and place. If you yell fire in a movie theater, it's going to cause, you know, a lot of panic. And that's also found unconstitutional because it breaks the immediate danger thing where it causes that fear and panic of danger. Also, it's unconstitutional to make or distribute obscene materials. So,
like porn?
Yes. Okay. So
no porn distribution.
No child porn distribution.
Okay. Child porn distribution.
However, gotcha. Adult porn can be limited if it is extremely violent or if it is not in good taste. I don't know how else to... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you guys figure that one out yourselves.
Interpret it as you will.
But, yeah. So the test to determine the obscenity was established over three main cases, and it's known as the Miller test. So the Miller test questions whether the average person finds that the matter appeals to prurient interests, whether the average person finds that the matter depicts or describes sexual conduct in an offensive way, or if it is taken as a whole and lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. So if you're saying things that literally is, you're pulling that out of your butt, you know, that you can't do that.
What?
So it's like defamation and libel and slander and stuff like that. You can't just say things about people that is not correct. You can't.
I can and I will.
Not
just
with the Constitution.
Just kidding. I'm telling the Constitution on you.
Yeah. Oh.
Just wait till they hear about this one.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, since we work for a newspaper, I guess we should move on to freedom of the press.
Sweet. So I actually got into a lot on libel and defamation, too, with press, because one of the limitations of press is that there are, like, legal protections in place to kind of safeguard public officials or government workers who may be kind of gone after with, like, libel and defamation, and there are a bunch of different kind of ways that the government prevents journalists from kind of publishing and distributing false information, especially on people. But basically, overall, the freedom of press just basically ensures journalists and media organizations the right to publish and distribute information without government censorship or interference. So the government can't tell you before or after publication that you cannot publish something or that you can't cover a certain topic. And there's a bunch of other things that we could go into, but one of the other kind of big checks on journalists with freedom of press is that you can't really cover issues of national security. So if we're in the middle of a war and I'm a journalist and I'm like, the troops relocated today to blah, 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 blah coordinates, I can't do that because it's a conflict of interest with national security. It also delves into kind of the publication of classified information and government documents. You could look at the guy who was trying to publish those Pentagon papers a while ago and everything that went down with that. I'm not too familiar with it, but I know it was a big thing. And then you also obviously should not be providing material support to terrorist organizations. Don't do that, please. But my other story with freedom of press was on paparazzi and how they kind of undermine the role of press and the purpose and integrity of what the press does. Long story short, paparazzi are not operating on the most ethical grounds. They're paid for high demand shots of celebrities just in everyday life or just not looking their best in awkward situations, and they get more money for I feel like they get more money as the more intrusive the photography gets.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks for celebrities because a lot of the time the media kind of looks at them like they give up their privacy when they become celebrities, which is not the truth. But some of the examples we talked about was Emma Watson when she turned 18, and there were photographers outside of her 18th birthday party trying to shoot pictures up her skirt, and then they did, and then they published it on the front page of the British tabloids the next morning.
Ew.
Great birthday present. I'm so sorry, Miss Emma Watson. That is disgusting. But yeah, it's just kind of unfortunate to look at the disrespect for their basic human dignity because they're celebrities.
So do they face any type of legal, or is it just all they're allowed to do that because of freedom of the press?
So there's a lot of kind of regulations around rights to someone's image and rights to their kind of identity online, but for the most part, as long as they're in a public place, they're basically just free game to any paparazzi. There's not really many limitations they can make if they're in public.
Yeah.
Which most, obviously they're people, they're gonna be out in the world. So it kind of sucks. But another one that I was looking at was Jennifer Lawrence had a bunch of explicit pictures basically exposed online. And then I don't know if any of you know who Perez Hilton is.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, he was so quick to post those on his blog and then had them up for a week before taking them down. It was disgusting. And then those poor kids of the celebrities were just automatically thrown into the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Northwest.
Blue Ivy.
Free Blue Ivy. I love Blue Ivy. I think she's delightful.
I do too.
Well, how do you feel about people assembling on campus?
Well, I love assembly. And I love a good assembly on campus. However, SIU has made it increasingly difficult to do so openly and spontaneously. There are a lot of rules that they have instated to make it a little more difficult for students and staff and just individuals in general to organize on campus. There are new decibel limits, so those are limits on sound and how what amplification devices you use. In February, they officially put it into the student handbook that it couldn't be over 25 decibels. So that means if you're standing 10 feet away, you shouldn't be able to hear the sound.
Wow. That's pretty quiet.
Yeah, which takes out, like, megaphones, microphones. You can register these, I believe, and then there is a possibility that you will be allowed to have an amplification device, but it should not exceed those restrictions. And there are also time restrictions as well. There's, like, a weird thing. And then there's rules about what buildings you can gather in. There's very strict rules saying that regardless of where you are on campus, your kind of organizing should not disrupt the everyday flow of classes and the way people are, like, experiencing SIUE on that day, which kind of is counterintuitive because organizing is kind of about disrupting things.
Yeah.
So kind of makes you wonder, like, if, like, freedom of assembly and protesting is, like, all about fostering an environment where students can engage in, like, an open dialogue. Like, how are we supposed to do that if there's such strong limitations?
Mm-hmm. So is that for, like, the quad too?
The quad is included in one of those things. I also know that now if you would like to organize, you have to register and go through a process before you kind of go out there. I know that was a big thing earlier. I know that MSA, when they were doing their like, kind of Palestine informational organizing, a lot of it was, like, them having to register to be in the front of the muck and in the quad.
So it's, like, kind of more difficult now. So, like, you still can, it's just, like, you have to jump through a lot more hoops.
Yeah, you have to go through a lot of processes, and there have to be, like, approvals from SIUE, which means that they could technically just disprove it too and be like, no, we don't want you doing that.
Well, that's kind of bummy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a part of the college experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Being able to kind of, like, apologies table. Being able to kind of, like, openly explore and, like, kind of vouch for the things you believe in, especially at, like, this age that we're all in right now, is really important as we're kind of, like, coming into, like, our identities, and, like, how we are kind of interacting with the world, and politics is a big part of that, and being able to advocate for the things we believe in, especially around this time, is super important.
I think that they put in a lot of, this is my personal thought,
okay,
I think they put in a lot of rules to try to hinder students from actually assembling. So I think they, like, put in these long processes so that students are less likely to, you know, because if there weren't as many long processes or strict rules and stuff, it would be a lot easier for students to use their voice. But because of all these rules, it's really hard and kind of stops the process. And maybe, like, if I were to assemble, if I myself were to assemble and I had to go through all of these, I would feel afraid, because what if, you know, like, I'm passionate about something and I, you know, I need to use my voice or whatever, and I have to go through this long process to even know if I can get accepted or not. And it's just, like, a huge waiting game, and it's kind of just frustrating, I think.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that they did all this to, like, protect students. Do you think that, like, all these rules is, like, really, like, helping, like, benefiting students and, like, protecting them from maybe negative people? I don't want to say street preachers, but, like, that's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking.
I mean, I understand partially why some of the regulations were imposed and, like, what kind of got us to that point. Like, decibel limits, like, I don't like it, but I understand, especially with all of the preacher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's just something about taking away the right of students to kind of just spontaneously, like, gather and kind of, like, advocate for one issue that kind of just rubs me the wrong way a lot.
I agree. Well, maybe we should, like, start a petition.
Whoa. Shameless transition.
What do we know about petition?
Oh, man, do I know some stuff about petitions. So the freedom of petition is probably one of the more forgotten parts of the First Amendment. No one really knows what it is because it's not really used too much modernly. But essentially, the freedom of petition is the ability of an individual to let the government know what they're doing wrong or what they should be doing differently, and ask for them to make those changes. So it was kind of really rooted in the grievances that the early colonists kind of sent to King George in their really long letter. It included, like, some of those grievances were like, oh, the king doesn't obey his own laws that he establishes. Like, he prevents people from electing their own representatives, and, like, he taxes people without consent. And so a big thing was that the early kind of framers of this constitution wanted special interest groups and advocates to be able to kind of stand up for themselves when they feel like the government is wronging them. There are, like, pretty big limitations and on said thing. Like, you can petition the government, but you can't protest on private property while petitioning. You can't circulate false statements while petitioning. So if I were like, this is wrong and blah 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 blah, like, the information that I'm petitioning has to be accurate, and it can't, like, slander anyone in the process. Yeah, it's kind of forgotten a lot because it's really deeply rooted in court-related stuff. So a lot of these things, you're petitioning and then they're going to court. And it's a lot of lobbying and advocacy that most, like, everyday people don't really have to think about a lot. But there's, like, a bunch of cases, too, that we looked at for this one. But basically, freedom of petition is, if I see something that the government is doing wrong and I don't like it, or if I see something that I want them to start doing that I would like, I have the right to let them know of that without fear of prosecution or backlash on my end.
And there are a lot of places you can actually petition on SIUE's campus mm-hmm. for SIUE-related things. And our lovely reporter Sam wrote about that. So I have his little
Sam.
Document up here. There's a lot. It's not as easy as just saying, as just writing a petition and sending it to the chancellor. There's a lot of kind of things you have to go through. If you're looking to change something in the actual governance of the university, you can reach out to a ton of different groups and petition a ton of different groups, such as the Board of Trustees, the Senate, the student government, people like that. There are a lot of unions as well that can petition, a bunch of union groups, as well as the Faculty Association and the Professional Staff Association. You can also petition for a change regarding academics. And then there you would go to the student. You can petition the Student Success Center.
Oh.
So you can also petition living, and you can petition the police department.
Oh. Well, that one sounds a little scary.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
So what are you guys most excited about on this special edition?
I'm excited for the graphics.
I am excited for it to be done.
Yeah.
I am also very excited for it to be over.
I have spent way too long on this, and I don't want to do it anymore.
I don't want to have to look at anything related to the First Amendment for a very long time.
I don't want to. Okay, today will be the last day.
Yes, mm-hmm. 'Tis the last.
And then the issue will go out.
And everyone should read it.
Yes.
Yep. Because
it'll
check out the special edition.
Because you put a lot of work into it, and it actually looks really nice.
Yes.
It's really, really nice. So yes, definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you guys obsessed with this week?
My
I want to know.
Part.
Okay. So I am obsessed with fried rice. I don't care what anyone says. I am obsessed with fried rice. Oh, Ava gosh. Is.
yep.
So I went to, I think it's Corner 17 in St. Louis with our lovely Lifestyles editor, Chloe. And we were checking it out for the Metro East Eats. And all I got was rice. All I wanted was rice. And when I tell you that was the best rice I've ever had in my life, I was praising the ground. Mm. I was like, on my knees, like, I took one bite and I was in a different world. It was so good. I still have it in my fridge because I'm trying to, like, eat little bits of it because I don't
That's
want it to
so
end.
Funny.
I don't want it to go away.
Audrey, have you tried the fried rice from Union Station? They sell frozen fried rice. Hear me out. It is so good.
I didn't know they did
it
that. Why didn't nobody tell me?
So good. I will, like, it sells out fast, though. But it is fire. I buy that for myself anytime I see it in there. It is like $5, but it is so worth it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I will be trying the muck fried rice.
It is scrumptious. I will say that.
I'm gonna take your word on it, Ava.
Trust me, guys.
I'm gonna trust.
I'm willing to die on this hill. It is delicious.
Mine this week is, I've had a lot of like slime videos on my TikTok.
Yeah.
Next but, celestial death bonding is slime.
No, but the ones I keep getting are the ones where they're like, this is like ruined slime and we're gonna fix it.
Yes, oh, I know exactly what you mean. No, I know what you mean. I put slime videos on in the background while I do homework because I don't really have to pay attention, but I can hear the sounds and I could look. Oh. Every time I look up, I can see something like changing in the slime. I don't know. I like it.
Love.
It's so fun.
I'm still obsessed with the sparkling pomegranate flavor of yerba. I probably will say that every time I'm on here.
I have seen you drink that so many times.
It's so good, guys.
It's crazy.
I have to buy them off of Amazon. They're like a special treat sometimes. let's see. I'm obsessed with my overalls. I wore them today for the first time in like months. They're so comfy.
They are adorable. Can confirm.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm obsessed with Pinterest. I love Pinterest.
Yep.
Love me some Pinterest. And I'm also obsessed with, what artist did I just, I've been listening to a lot of, and hear me out because I'm going to sound like a dad when I say this, I've been listening to a lot of Pink Floyd recently since the eclipse. Mm-hmm. And I love them. I've been listening to a lot of Dark Side of the Moon because it's pretty on theme. I'm also obsessed with seeing everyone in the quad for the solar eclipse and their funky glasses. I counted 7 frat men who looked directly at the sun with no protection.
Great.
Yep. Great. Sounds about right.
Yep.
Good job.
And that, I think, is it for me.
Well, great. Thank you guys for being on this episode. I hope you get some good sleep.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
A nice little, not break, because you don't get a break, but a little like,
I hope I'll get some more fried rice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Period.
Bye.
Bye.